Blog Talk Radio.
Summer Madness. The title tune from that classic presented by that classic group, Kool & the Gang. You got it. I paused because I know some of you may just have known who it was deep in your subconscious, but just couldn't pull the name out. So I gave you a few minutes to joggle it around in your head. That's a technical word, joggle it around. Yes, Cool in the Gang, Summer Madness, all-time classic, nearly 2 decades old, but just as fresh as when it first came out. And oh, how apropos. And I say apropos because here we are, summer of 2017. And as often or usual, we are in the summer madness. Yes, the summer madness. Summer in America. You gotta love it. Well, before I go any further, I'd be remiss if I didn't say, pardon me for not introducing myself and informing you that you are at the right place at the right time. And my name is Darryl Clark, your host and producer and founder of Progressive News Weekly. I'm so pleased and proud and thrilled and excited, and I mean that literally and figuratively, to be here this evening to have an uncommon discourse. And I say it's an uncommon discourse because what you get here on Progressive News Weekly is not common in relevance comparison to mainstream media. I'm so pleased and proud to say on Progressive News Weekly, week in and week out, we bring you live news and information that you can use. Information that's not typically heard on mainstream media. It's not influenced by political or business or any other interest. And it's real, based in fact. With that said, if you're not on the mail list, drop me an email to Darryl, D-A-R-R-Y-L, _ CLA18 at MSN.com, and I'd be so pleased to add you to my mail list so that you can be privy to what our upcoming programs and guests are going to be. So if you were on the mail list, naturally you would know who our guest and our topic is going to be this evening. So, summer madness, getting back to that. Summer madness. It seems about every summer something goes down just to put a little mark, a little blur, to mar the enjoyment of the summer, and often it impacts African Americans in a significant way. It wasn't a few summers ago, it seems, that, well, the announcement came out about Michael Jackson. Let's not forget about what happened just outside of St. Louis with that kid just laying in the street. And that was just the beginning of massive attacks on blacks for several years, and it didn't stop until our dear president was out of office. Not to say that it's not going on, but not in mainstream like it was at that time. Let's not forget about Trayvon Martin. I mean, we can go on and on. Baltimore, I can't forget Tamir in my hometown, Cleveland, Ohio. So, what is it this summer? today, interestingly enough, there was on mainstream media, O.J. Simpson again, front and center. The outcome being very interesting. We'll talk a little bit about that later on in the program. But as I said, here we go. Summer Madness. Our president, some people would say, if you want to call him that, that didn't come out of my mouth. As I said, some people would like to say that. Is under attack, and I'm not saying without reason, don't misunderstand me, but I try not to make this a political program. I leave that to our listeners to comment on, and then from there I'll weigh in my opinions. And for our guest, we're able to speak to those types of things. So much is going on in mainstream, and I don't typically like to talk about mainstream and from time to time, though, I like to keep the record straight, and I will dibble and dabble into it just to keep it real, keep it grounded. So we are going to talk a little bit about mainstream later on in the program when we bring on our special guest for this evening. And I really encourage you, for those of you who are on live radio, because I know a number of our listeners come in on the archives, and I thank you for tuning in and taking that time out to listen to Progressive News, even though it's not live. And I certainly encourage you to share Progressive News with friends and family, and it's so appreciated when you do. So, with that said, I really want you to consider calling in and commenting on this subject matter that we're about to engage in this evening. I'm going to do something a little bit different this evening, and it's well long overdue, I'll have to admit. And it's something that many of you have requested for many, many years, and that is for me to talk a little bit more about what's near and dear to me. Well, what's near and dear to me is the progressive evolution of our human race. And specifically and especially being an African-American, our African-American race. Let's not get it twisted here. Charity starts at home. We all have a role and a part that we have to play. And if we don't do that, we're like a fish out of water. One of my dear and very close colleagues and I were having a discussion earlier. If we don't step up to who we are, and I'm not pointing fingers. If you could see me sitting here now, you see this thumb pointing right back at Darryl Clark. I'm the first and foremost to stand in this path of this conversation. But if we don't step up to who we are designed to be, then this society can't be what it's designed to be. Now, you know where I'm headed with this, for those of you who've been listening for the last 8-9 years. One of my favorite quotes from Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And it goes like this. In a real sense, all life is interrelated. All men are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality. Tied in a single garment of destiny, whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. I can never be what I ought to be until you are what you ought to be. And you can never be what you ought to be fully, and I added that word myself, until I am what I ought to be. And this is what Dr. Martin Luther King referred to as the interrelated structure of reality. So, folks, we all got a role to play. Old, young, rich, poor, male, female, and everything in between. Christian, Jewish, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist. It doesn't matter where you fall under the divine glory of the sun. You have a role and a responsibility. I have a role and a responsibility. And that role and responsibility is simply to be all that we can be. Now, I struggle with that. I told you, I'm pointing the finger back at the thumb first. I struggle with that. Ask my wife. That was a joke. Actually, it wasn't. But it's something that we need to take a look at daily. No, not yearly or monthly or weekly. Daily. We need to really take a look at that. And I know that because I live that. I live it. And I always find something that I need to work on, even on my best day. So let's do that. I always like to give a delivery, you know, before we end the programs. So that's my delivery for the day. That's my delivery. That we're all going to take a moment out. Just a moment. And do a little self-introspecting as to just who we are. And not from a sense of what we're doing. You know, one of the worst things you can hear when you ask someone, you know, who they are, and they say, I'm a bookkeeper, or I'm a landscaper, or I'm a carpenter, or I'm a manager in such and such a store, or a CPA, or a lawyer, or a doctor. No, that's what you do. Who are you? That's the question. You can have all the titles in the world and still not know who you are. That may not even be what your calling was, and you're forcing the issue. Swimming upstream. Salmon swim upstream. Not humans. So, as I said, I work on that daily, and I've come to believe from my readings and tutorage, I've been so blessed to be around so many people. You can imagine, having done this radio show, I want to say hundreds and hundreds of times, because it's been 9 years, and I've missed any given year maybe 5 shows that I've done replays on. So that's 52 weeks, an average maybe 48 weeks a year. You do the math. And most of my guests are remarkable thinkers. And I've come to develop some kindred relationship offline, off the air. I've learned so much from them, so it's been a blessing. And throughout that, there's one common thread. Keep it simple. Keep it real. And trust in that higher authority. Regardless of what you call it, it's known as love. Universally. So, as I was saying, today, I said, you know, I'm going to take just a few moments. Just to talk, just a few moments. about what's near and dear to me, and that is the evolution, the progress. Mental, physical, and most important, spiritual wellness, health. Folks, we are all connected. If you don't believe it, just look back for those who are 20 or over. That I can risk and say you have experienced it whether you know it or not. And most who are less of that age have experienced it as well. What am I talking about, right? What am I talking about? I'm talking about that universal spirit that's in all of us. One my mom used to say is your first mind, Daryl. Follow it. You know, that instinct, that inkling. We all got it. For us black folk, that's what has us still here. Got folks scratching their heads, going, how are they still around? After all we've done, we've lynched them, we've kept them, we've stripped them from their families, we've sodomized them, we've done everything we could, and they're still around because of the universal spirit. Now, the adversary being anyone that's not in our best interest, have come from a whole different angle. The Roach Motel angle. We need to get them from within. That works for us before, they said, when we brought down the Panthers. Remember? That was from the inside. The Willie Lynch syndrome, in case you don't know about it, go up on the website, Willie Lynch. Get them to pit against each other. Get the ones who are fair-skinned to go against the dark-skinned. Get the ones who are short to go against the tall. Get the house niggas against the field niggas. Get them against each other. And we're still dealing with that today, Jay-Z. Oops, I mentioned a name. Let me just talk about that for a minute. Here on the East Coast, we had a station known as Smooth Jazz. I think most of you folks know about that because I got listeners in Texas. Shout out to my folks in Texas. Shout out to my folks in Georgia. Shout out to my folks in California. Shout out to my folks in Michigan. Shout out to my folks in Massachusetts. Shout out to my folks, of course, in NY, New York. Shout out to my folks in South Carolina. Shout out to my folks in Florida. Shout out to my folks in Kentucky. Shout out to my folks. And I have to be careful because I don't want to miss anybody. Oh, I'm going to forget my engineer. Tennessee, I ain't forgot you, Cecil. Now, you know I'm going to say the best for last. Shout out to my folks in Ohio. Listen, folks, it's real. What we have been through and what's kept us above it all is simply who we are at the core, the unity, the village. But we got those out there that are not in our best interest, and until we start calling these mothers out, we're going to take few steps forward and a few steps backwards. Fortunately, we're destined. You see, the children that are coming out today who get it are tenfold to those who don't. Listen to me clearly. Don't be discouraged when you see our children sagging and you see kids out here talking stupid because they hear that from the stupid rappers. Yeah, I said it. The stupid rappers. I didn't say all rappers were stupid. Don't try to twist my words here, folks, if there's anybody out there. Because I'm opening these lines up, but I want us to have some uncommon discourse this evening. too many stupid rappers and doing nothing. Now back to what I was saying about smooth jazz. Dad used to say jazz soothes the savage soul. I know if my sisters are out there, they're probably saying, I remember that. Soothes the savage soul. So why would you remove that station from the airwaves? Let me answer the question. How about because we need the savage soul in that community in order to control them? So what happened on the East Coast? Oh, by the way, the famed New York East Coast, New York Giants, New York Knicks, and all the rest. Go Cavs, go Indians. See, I'm still a true fan. I didn't forget my Brownies. Y'all don't know what I go through out here when it's football season. Browns, come on, man. Y'all got to help me out. But anyway, let me get back. So with the powers that be out here, and I mentioned all that about the Giants and all that other stuff, because this is the money mecca. You know, keep it real. New York, Chicago, L.A., Houston, Dallas, Atlanta. Those are the money meccas. Not taking anything away from Cleveland and St. Louis and Memphis and, you know, some of the other major spots, the real grounded spots. I'm talking about the money makers, where the money is. Do you know, I'm listening to smooth jazz one day, and their mothers took it off the air. Snap, crackle, pop. And you gonna tell me between Mariah and Jay-Z and wasn't Alicia and what's the other girl's name? Who did all the sitcoms and you gonna tell me Miss Beyonce? They got enough money to buy 3 stations, and we got no smooth jazz. These folks don't care. Folks, get it in your minds. Ain't no way you're supposed to do that. I ain't finished. Because that wasn't enough. Just to rub the mud pie in blacks' faces, we had another station, which most metro cities have, which was old school and R&B. Cool. Had all the old school music and new R&B. And there is some R&B out there. It's just that you don't hear it very much. But there's some serious R&B. Ask the children who are connected. My daughter's connected. Her friends are connected. There's a lot of young folks that know what time it is. I mean, really know what time it is. And there's so many of them, there's nothing that will ever stop it. Nothing. No matter what they do. They're looking for it right now. But the problem is the counter is already there before they come up with it because they're anointed. This is what the Dick Gregory calls our indigo children. So what these mothers did, that's not M-O-T-H-E-R, okay, you understand. What they did is similar to what they did with R&B, because see, they gotta let you know that you're oppressed, or at least have you thinking that you are. Who am I? And you know, I don't like saying they. I'm talking about the powers that be. You know, anyone that has any influence is power. I mean, what is real power? Let me segue for a minute. Someone I respect, another mentor of mine, and you might look up some of his books, Dr. Naeem Akbar. If you don't know him, Google him. Naeem Akbar. I've got several of his books. N-A-I-M A-K-B-A-R. And I've listened to so many of his lectures. I've seen him in person, and he's signed many of my books. And he says the power is not really about money, even though it equates to money. But power is simply the ability to influence circumstances such that circumstances meet your best interest. So when you're able to influence circumstances around you, and some people say, well, that's money. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Everybody in the city council ain't got a whole bunch of money, but they could have some influence. Everybody on the street club that's in the street club ain't necessarily got a lot of money, but they got some influence. So I'm just saying, you may have power and not even realize. You may be the head of you a nurse of the Black Nurses Association, making $60,000 a year, depending where you are. That's not a lot of money. That ain't a lot of money. Try to make that in New York and call yourself living high. You'd be working check to check. But if you're the head of the Black Nurses Association, you got some power. The issue is, are you using it? So, back to what I'm saying about R&B and old school music. It was the radio station was there about 98. If you notice, in most metros, somewhere around 98 on the FM dial was, you know, your black hip hop and that. I'm listening to smooth R&B and old school, and that mother went off the air, and next thing I know, I'm hearing some basketball game. Folks, wake up. This is in Metro New York City, the home of Mariah, Jay-Z, what's the other one? Puff, somebody. Come on, dudes. Come on, get real. Not to mention Denzel. I mean, I ain't mentioned actors and actresses. So, you see, we must step back and keep it real and get off these, what is it, extra, read all about it. That's what it was about when I was a kid. Read all about it. See the real deal. I'm not trying to watch no reality show, and you ain't doing nothing but perpetrating my demise. If you're not out here talking about what's happening, you can't sing anything to me and have me trying to call myself thinking you something of significance. So I just thought I'd go off on that little bit of a tangent, if you want to call it that, just in terms of our wellness and health, because see, health and wellness is not always about what you're eating, what you're drinking. It's about what you're thinking. It all starts in the head. Either you ain't got no brain, you ain't gonna have a sense to drink or eat or exercise and do anything else. So what we have to begin to do is we have to begin taking some time out, folks. I mean, just take some time out and stop. Just stop. I had to laugh because that's one of my favorite Earth, Wind, and Fire signs. Just stop. I think I'll play that on our bumper tune as we close out. It is all about love. And just take some time out and reflect on who we are. I mean, there really is nothing but who we are. And so the way that you'll do that, and that's why I bring on the likes of a Dr. Glenn Mendoza, who is world-renowned meditation specialist, one of only 7 pranic healers in the world, pranic healing being an energy healing. And he talks about meditation. He talks about the importance of it. And there's no doubt, studies are showing, that those who meditate unquestionably live longer than those who don't. So don't let anybody tell you some garbage about all that meditation, that old mess like that. I told you last week or 2 weeks ago, I had a brother who I was working with. He was somebody that from time to time I interfaced with in my business. and I was telling him about my program, and I had Dr. McGlynn Mendoza, and that clown had the nerve to say to me, I can't wait to listen. I love talk radio, especially if it's about, you know, blacks and what and any. It's not just about blacks. It's about human race. You know, I just happen to be black, so I have to make sure I pay certain attention at a minimum to what's happening in my race. But I have a universal program. I have a program of people listening from all creeds, backgrounds, colors, genders. Oh, well, that sounds good. I don't listen. I said, well, okay. Well, this week I've got somebody on, and we're going to talk about meditation. Oh, well, Daryl, man, you know, I'm a minister. I don't do that stuff. I said, what stuff? And I meditate and stuff. I said, it's just stuff. How are you spelling that? Is it an acronym for something, or can you explain what stuff is? I'm ignorant. Anyway. Folks, don't be fooled. I'm going to try to wake that clown up over the weeks and months ahead. It's no coincidence we came together, especially if he's a minister, which means he has some influence over a number of people. See, that's the Roach Motel. He's telling folks in his congregation meditation's bad. Roach Motel. So anyway, I encourage everybody this evening to call in and let me know what's on your mind. You know, we are under the sun sign of Cancer. That's the sign, as we heard Dr. Mendoza say. The energies thereof is, you know, that of humanity. And I'm proud to be a Cancer. You know, caring about family, you know, unity. And, you know, I have to say, without just bragging, that, you know, I have to admit, that's some of my character. It is. But he says that under that particular sun sign, it's not just those who were born under that sign that can utilize and pick up that energy. It's anyone. All you have to do is be aware of it. And so on that note, that's to be the last part that I'll talk about in terms of health. And that is be aware. Be aware of what's going on with you. And then once you become aware, then you can begin to alter, balance those imbalances within you, be it mentally or physically or spiritually. If you're blessed to have a mind that is functioning somewhat normally, where you can feel pain, sense pain, that's normal thinking, where you know not to ingest something that has a skull and crossbone on it, you know, those kind of things that let you know that you have a sense of sanity about you. If you have some sanity about you, you too can utilize the capabilities of the mind to tap into the universal energy. Now, I'll leave you with this. Studies have shown that the power of suggestion is real. Take it to the bank. I have books in my library. One of my favorite books I love is the study by Emoto, E-M-O-T-O, Asian guy. He took two beakers, two exact beakers, and he put water in both of them, dipped them in water, and flash froze them. So they created crystals on the outside of the beakers. On one beaker, he took masking tape and he wrote hate, filth, disgust, ugly, negative things. Just wrote it all over the beaker. On the other beaker, he wrote words such as kindness, love, peace, happiness, joy.
as I said, he flash froze those two beakers such that they immediately crystallized. They created ice crystals. Of course, ice crystal is shaped like a snowflake. They have six sides. No two have ever been found alike. No two snowflakes have ever been found alike. And that's why I laugh when I hear people talk about, you know, the Big Bang Theory and all this nonsense. So when he took the beakers out of the freezer with the crystals now on the side, he put the crystals under an electronic microscope. So now he's looking at six-sided figures, six-sided crystals, no two being alike. On the beaker, if you can imagine this, use that mind of yours, on the beaker that had hate, filth, disgust, ugly, the crystals on that beaker, and I have books on this, I'm telling you, if you go to the library, Masaru Emoto's done more studies on this than anyone that I know of. M-A-S-A-R-U, Masaru Emoto. You can Google it. On the beakers that had the words such as hate and filth and ugly and disgust, the six-figured snowflakes, and we all know snowflakes, and come on now, everybody knows this from grade school, some of the most beautiful things that nature's ever created. No two have ever been alike. We used to cut them out with the paper, you know, in art class. They were distorted. Some you couldn't even tell had six sides to them. I've got pictures. I got color pictures of these things. The shapes, the corners were rounded. Some were just blurred. On the beaker that had love and peace and happiness, the snowflake crystals were perfect. They were beautiful. You have to see the pictures to see it. So talk about the power of suggestion. All he did was think and write those on the beaker. So for those of you who are going through anything, I don't care if it's with they want to diagnose you as, I won't even say the words. The worst thing you could think of somebody might diagnose you with. Think about Masaru Emoto's study and meditate on what you want. Do you want that thing to be worse, or do you want it to be healed, removed? Meditate on that. That's my words for today, and going forward we'll have words of wellness going forward because you've been asking for it. Now, what you may have been waiting for, because I did promise you we're going to have a special guest this evening, and we're going to talk about some of the things going on in society. And one of my long time colleagues and someone I respect so much because of his body of work in research and analyzing and doing the history of his research to validate it, Mr. Ronald Crenshaw is here today. We were talking a little bit earlier about things going on this summer with the politics and also, of course, that hearing that took place today with O.J. Simpson and the results of that. By the way, I'm going to give a little backdrop, and then I'm going to bring Mr. Ronald Crenshaw to get his take on this. We all know what went down with O.J. Simpson. It was probably one of the biggest media events in history. And keep it real. Everybody was glued to the television, and it showed the separation of this country, because all the white folks was like, oh, he's a murderer. And all the black folks were like, oh, no. Now, don't misunderstand me, because I knew some blacks were saying, that murdering dog. And I knew some white folks were saying, you know what, he didn't do that. So So don't misunderstand me. But generally speaking, there was a division, generally. It was so interesting to see that. I remember when the verdict took place, and at the time I was working with AT&T about, oh, what does that go back, 20, 15 years. And so I can remember in the office, folks, another thing I'll share with you, one more little health tidbit. Laughter heals. Got the books on it. Research shows it. This isn't me and my naturopathic colleagues, you know, who have written many books. This is Harvard Medical, you know, New England Journal of Medicine. I mean, all the big-time so-called institutions of health. They have found that the more you laugh, the more you build immune cells in your body. Isn't that good? So keep laughing, folks. Let me tell you, in my office, at the time, we're about 30% blacks, which was a huge number. It was one of those peak times. When that verdict hit, I saw every black in my office jump out of their cubicles, yelling and screaming, and I think I might have saw maybe 3 white folks out of the 20, 30 that jumped up. It was such a divide. Oh, it was such an obvious divide. So let's bring it back full circle here. Okay. They put the man in jail. And remember, OJ wasn't the sharpest blade in the knife rack. I mean, you know, he wasn't isn't the smartest thing. You know, truth be told, he's not a great reader. I mean, or writer. He's not very smart. I mean, it's not a big secret, and he won't even deny. He's not trying to say he's a smart person. He was a great football player, one of the greatest, I would dare say. I follow him from when he left USC, California. I follow him when he was in USC. He was one of my all-time favorites just because of his moves, and I played football, and I emulated my moves, many of them. So greatest, one of the greatest. But especially back then, you didn't have to know very much to get through college if you could be a great football player. They can't get away with that so much now because, you know, politics have doubled down into what they were doing, and now you have to at least pass the school grade. So he wasn't the smartest thing. But you can believe he was beloved because he was a brother that made it. He was the voice in the... and the picture of Hertz, remember that? Everybody loved OJ. But he got caught up with somebody that was class in terms of money, well below his class. She ended up being a junkie. No, I'm not just trying to say this, just talk about her. But that came out to be a fact. Serious drug problem, thousands of dollars, some say a day. Indebted to those who deal at that level. When you're dealing at that level, you're not dealing with the street corner thug. Let's get it straight. You're dealing with some serious mob action. We all know how she died with the, just drew a blank. Somebody help me. When you call in, you tell me what it's called. When you go from ear to ear, some kind of necklace, some that they call it, when you have a hit. Oh, Jay don't know about giving the, what is it called? Help me, somebody. A necklace ear to ear. So that's my take on it. I'm no Johnny Cochran or the other guy, the Kardashian. By the way, you did know that his attorney was a Kardashian, one of the Kardashian guys. In fact, the Kardashian man. There's a lot going on that people don't look back and figure out. And they didn't last long after that trial. Don't think that was a coincidence either. So my synopsis on the whole thing was, and don't misunderstand me, I loved him as a football player, but, you know, his lifestyle, I didn't promote it. And, I mean, that's that lifestyle. That's that Hollywood lifestyle. I mean, you know, it is what it is. It's not, that's why I say I'm not into that reality stuff. I'm not there. I don't want my children or grandchildren or my nieces or nephews or any mentor or proteges of mine, you know, getting too caught up in that mess. Because it's just that mess. A lot of it's just mess. It's class and caste, folks. When it comes down to it, you got a lot of poor white folks out here trying to deal with life, just like a lot of poor black folks. And you got a lot of rich black folks that don't give a damn about you. And I say it again, don't give a damn about you. And in fact, would hurt you and your family down to the youngest if it meant taking a dime from them. You better get it straight and fixed in your head next time you tune in to one of these stupid oopid sitcom shows. Anyway, let me get off my soapbox. So, this is what went down with Nicole. This is my version. OJ tried to say, you know what, baby? I believe he cared about her. And like many athletes, which I certainly don't endorse, engage in the physical abuse thing. That's crazy. It's just, you know, that's, I think, sometimes a reflection of a lot of athletes' background. A lot of athletes who are very good athletes have rage in them. I mean, look at LeBron. A lot of that is rage. As good as he is, that's energy that's been channeled. Because, you know, he came from a broken home. I say LeBron because, you know, Cleveland. But there's a lot of athletes, if you look at them. And that rage, that's why I would tell any female, before you get engaged, don't be looking at just the money. You better look at their background when you start messing around with these athletes. Because you mess around, they'll kill you. Look at Jim Brown. How many women did he abuse? And that was another one of my heroes growing up. So, no, I'm just saying that his lifestyle wasn't a fan of his. I loved his abilities on the football field. But at the end of the day, we have a justice system and a judicial system that's supposed to give equal opportunity and a fair chance. So we have a lot of folks in jail and who have died in jail right now who are innocent. But at the same time, there's a scale. And you got a lot of people who are just guilty who get off. It's part of the judicial system. But at the end of the day, if you find yourself in a situation where you just happen to be in a situation, most of us know that because most of my listeners are 25 or over, more like 30 or over. At that age, you've been through something. It's hard to live in this society and not. You've been through something where somebody accused you of something, even if it was something just related to a significant other. And it really wasn't so. Oh, you may have been engaged in it or involved in it, but it wasn't the way it was depicted upon you to that extent. So you'd like to think that you'll be able to be faced with a system that says you're innocent until proven guilty. The man was proven innocent. He was proven innocent. Yet, because of his lifestyle, his background, not being the sharpest tool in the toolbox, he ultimately defaulted to who he really was. And that's why I say we need to, in the very beginning of this show, folks, if you didn't hear it, go back to the archives. You need to know who you are. Because then if there's some adjustments to be made, then you can make them. You say, okay, well, this is who I am, but maybe I would like to be more of this. And make your adjustments. You don't want to be a fish out of water. Take a fish and you'd be looking at him out of water and he'd be flipping and flapping. You'd say, look at that thing. It's weird, especially if you're like a kid. You know, look at it, it's flipping and flapping. Like, and put that same fish in some water and just watch it just shoo. Too many of us, and I'm looking at my thumb now. I'm working on myself, folks. Too many of us are fish out of water. Maybe we're not totally out the water, but somewhat out the water. But not in the water that we need to be in where we can really, You know what that psh, that's a technical word, psh. So I'm saying all of that to say I believe they trialed OJ when he went back and tried to get his stuff, over 600 items. And first of all, I believe someone corralled him to do that. Because see, when you're ignorant, it's easy to be influenced. Somebody said, man, I can help you get that stuff back. They didn't stole your stuff. That's society. They, you know you didn't do it. I know you didn't do it. And it may have been somebody that knew he didn't do it. I'm going to help you get your stuff back. So ignorant OJ goes and tries to get his stuff back. And this is my depiction. I could be way wrong. Way, way wrong. I want to hear your opinions. So he goes and tries to get his stuff back. And of course he gets caught. Because he's ignorant. And they try him for murder. Oh, come on. He got 9 to 40 years for assault with a weapon and didn't even touch the gun. Come on. They try. If they got a gun, if they could have given him 100 years, they would have. Who is they? You know, I don't like using that word they. Don't let nobody throw that mess up in your head. Those who were in power. In this case, the jury. Was it an all-white jury? Think about it. So today, on the cover of the New York Post, they got a monkey, like he's breaking out of the, you know how they have, well, they used to. Now, in the zoos, they have animals in natural environments. But they used to have them in cages, and they still do sometimes. You'll see the apes and the gorillas in the cages. Well, they got him breaking out in the New York Post. He's released like he's an animal. That's an affront on black folks. I don't care what you say. Back to my bumper tune as I opened up the program. Cooling the Gang. Summer Madness. Okay? So for those who say, well, it wasn't that bad. Summer, I mean, he got paroled. No, now we got to look at all this mess, people making him look like a gorilla. This is all coming back at us. Wrong. I know who I am, and I know who they are, and I've identified them, and I got my radar scope on them, and you need to do the same thing. So with that said, that's my take on it. I want to know what your take on it is, but before we do that, we got to go to our special guest, Mr. Ron Crenshaw. Now, if you're interested in commenting on this, I need you to dial 1 on your touch-tone phone. The number is 347-838-9142. That's 347-838-9142. And I'd like to hear what your thoughts are. Believe me, you don't have to agree with me, because we're all in this together. That's the interesting thing. We all came from the same place. And I'm not just talking about my black listeners, because I know that my whites are out there too, and so are my Latinos. I know you're out there, my Asians. You're all welcome to join in this dialogue. Okay, so Mr. Ronald Crenshaw out of New York City, keeping it real, keeping it live. Thanks for joining us on another edition of Progressive News Weekly.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it. And I'm in total concert with what you've, your presentation around the, and this question around O.J. Simpson. I learned well after the trial had ended and all of that, that Furman, the person who was the chief, so to speak, person who knew more about the murder than anyone else, who found so-called found the glove, had gotten permission not to speak because he took the Fifth Amendment. He didn't have to go on and speak in the trial because he took the Fifth Amendment, which said he might incriminate himself if he gave any evidence. That, once I heard that, that knocked me for a loop. I said, how could they pull off a trial when the major witness takes the Fifth Amendment? That boggles my mind. And when I heard about all of the, how they literally got the clues of how the blood was spilt, and how blood, when it comes from the body, usually just comes out in droplets, but this was blood that was smeared, you know, not smeared, but carried, like the person was carried while they were bleeding, and that sort of thing. It was streaming like. Those were other things, and of course the glove didn't match, and Furman, the detective, went over the gate, which without having a, you know, a permit to enter the grounds, that was overlooked, or should I say, pushed to the side. You know, all of these things, and the glove, of course, the glove didn't fit, and all of that then, you know, kind of like took me for a loop. It was not that I was cheering for O.J. Simpson. If I saw that he, you know, was guilty, I would have said that, you know, acknowledged. But I couldn't see how he could have been guilty when the feller was evidently had a terrific fight for his life. The fellow who had a fight, you know, for his life. How could both of them be there and one not try to help the other because of the fact that what was going down? So it had to be more than one adversary in terms of her murderer. One had to take the time to give her a slice through her throat from ear to ear. Ordinary people don't slice like that. They jab. They jab you into. But someone who takes the time and care to slice your throat from ear to ear is someone who has strength on you and you can't budge. So, you know, and the fellow, they said, looked like, excuse me, put up a strong struggle and fight. So how could all this be being done by O.J. Simpson at the same time of cutting her throat? So it just didn't register. It wasn't a matter that I was on his side because I didn't look at him as being, you know, supportive of black people. I thought he was aloof to black people in general. And it's not that I don't dislike people that are black like that. I just stay away from them. But, I mean, it's that's my thing. But when I saw the injustice going down, then I realized the finger was being pointed at me as a black person. That's how I saw that. The point, just like all the other cop murders that you know, are done day after day after day in all of the states of the United States. I mean, that all that's fascism to me. When I see somebody can say you want it in your pocket and they can shoot you and kill you because they thought you were bringing out a gun, they thought? That's despicable. That's how I feel about things like that. And, you know, let me stop there because you did give a good talk on about reality and things of that sort, which was good.
What do you think about the Roe verdict? I understand that the victim who was robbed, well, let me stop. I didn't understand. I actually saw it myself. I watched it this afternoon. The victim who was robbed, the man, he testified, and I think that made a big difference. He stated clearly that after the incident, he went on record as saying he didn't think, and see, I didn't catch the beginning, as I think so many people didn't. We just know that shortly after the trial, the murder trial, O.J. went out, robbed someone at gunpoint, and that's the way I understood it. I'm going to be very honest. I didn't read the details. I just heard he was robbed. He robbed someone at gunpoint, and that he was going to go on trial, and that he was convicted. And I said, "Wow, you know, there he is," because he was he's not known to be a bright person. That is a fact, folks.
Yeah.
And so I was saying, "Man, I can't believe it. You know, here he is. He didn't mess around. tried to get his stuff back, got a gun, come on, OJ, and then held it at somebody's head. Turns out the man testified today that he didn't want to see OJ do time. He had forgiven OJ because OJ was the only one in the room. There were three men. He was the only one in the room without a weapon. OJ stood back. He did not hold any gun at anybody's head. It was another man who actually did that. He didn't even touch. He didn't even have a weapon. So I never realized that. So this man got 9 to 33 years for being in the room.
I didn't know that either. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
so much is so much is covered up. It is fantastic. I'm learning that now. Really.
But what do you think of even being given 9 to 33 years for assault with a deadly weapon and he didn't have a weapon?
Yeah, that's par for the course in terms of how we're treated in the, you know, judicial system. I mean, that's it's just out of sight, really. I mean, you know, I see these things and they're just insufferable to me. And that's why I guess I go on into talking to people and telling them about why all this, what's behind all of this, this behavior the way it is. And, you know, because it doesn't give a picture of having anything to do with having a democratic society, which does not exist. And I feel that that's the first thing people should know, that there's not a democratic society operating in this country. People will say, well, I don't know what I'm talking about. Of course they will say that, but then they have to understand the things that are going on and how Trump doesn't even want to give the people the Obama health care, which Republicans signed on to that at that time. And I never thought of the Obama health care as being the best thing. I mean, it at least could have made Medicaid, Medicare, general for everybody. You know, they could have at least made that step for the people. And now he wants to get rid of the Obama health care. And, you know, he's actually... I guess I'm getting off the subject that you wanted, but he's driving the country into a insurrection. But, I mean, you know, I guess that has to come, too, because of the fact of the brutality that's meted out. I mean, the poverty that exists in the society, that happens because of profit. You know, you have to be explicit about this. The poverty that exists in this country is the result of profit. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I
would agree with you on
that.
And it ties to the fact of, you know, what I was referring to as class and caste that's involved into this country. Ryan, we have a listener that wants to have a comment on what you're saying or a question.
Beautiful.
So if we can take a segue here. 732-522. New Jersey, looks like you have the airwaves.
Hey, how you doing? Just calling in. Long time listening. I just want to weigh in on this topic. I mean, I remember the trial, and I remember the divide. I was working at a place that was 85% black, and after the verdict, it was like a ghost town. It was a ghost town. And for the small amount of us, we were like celebrating, not so much him in particular, but the fact that for the first time they had a chance to see how this system is flawed. You know, they had a chance to see that money can surely have a great impact on your guilt or innocence, you know, which that is something that we as black and even Latinos traditionally don't have. So that was the one thing. And then with the Vegas thing, yeah, I knew all of this, all the details at the time. I mean, it was two guys, three guys, that acted like they were OJ's friends, and they were like, you know, these guys are pedophilia that they stole, and come on, we're going to help you get it back, and you know, we're just going to talk to them, and then it, you know, led, and I really believe that it was definitely a witch hunt to get them, to finally get them, because, you know, in our history, you know, there was never going to be a person of our color to get away with anything. You know, back in the day, they would have settled that. They would have settled that in a different way. You know, so this was like a modern day lynching, and you know, in a way where they just set this whole thing up. Everybody involved was on board with the ruling against them, and it was like the greatest thing, you know, that they ever did at that point, because to this now, no one truly got away with it. No one truly got away in this shit. So, you know, so now that he was granted parole, now we're going to go into the new chapter of what's the next thing they're going to do. He's going to be victimized with life, with this, that. What's the next thing that they're going to try to do moving forward? But in a way, a lot of it was put on himself, because he did put the black people, you know, the black people as a whole were the people who stood behind him through the whole thing, and they were the very people that, like, turned his back on to a large degree in his world. So that's all I have to say about it.
You know, I appreciate that. For our listeners who want to comment, it's, the number is 347-838-9142. That's 347-838-9142. If that's the number you dialed already, just press 1, and I or Cecil, our engineer, will pick up, and you'll have a chance to comment or ask a question, myself or any of the other callers or Mr. Crenshaw. We're having some dialogue right now about the trial of O.J. Simpson, but we're broadening that also just to talk about the dilemma of being African American in a, I would say a fascist country, and the implications of that. I mean, we'll go back to Ron. I'd like to thank the caller from New Jersey. Thank you so much for that excellent insight. I hope others will have some comments as well. So what do you say about that, Ron, with regard to the caller? He confirmed, you know, that although blacks didn't necessarily agree with O.J. and didn't necessarily resonate with him because of his lifestyle, you know, just because of the whole justice piece, they were in his corner. It reminds me of Michael Jackson. You know, we had his back.
Right.
And many feel
right.
like Michael didn't really, you know, show that
right.
affinity for blacks.
That's true.
But when
That's
he got
true.
In trouble, he could come right. back to us. You know,
right.
and back to your point, Ron, if you could comment on all of this, about the fascism and being, and it's about really rich and poor and profits.
Right.
Look at what's happened to some of our folks. Like, I'm thinking Whitney Houston comes to mind. She died like a $10 hoax. Excuse my French, folks, but those are kids out there.
Right.
But she died butt naked in a bathtub in one of the richest hotels in this country.
Wow.
And, I mean, she had all the money that you could ever want. So that lifestyle,
right.
you know what I'm saying, has things
yeah.
that go with that. And
right.
But we also have to understand that that lifestyle is like sharks. They
yeah.
feed on each other.
That's
so how
right.
do you think they would care about anybody else?
Exactly.
And that's the point that I was making there.
I
you know,
see.
She engaged
right.
in that. They didn't care about her. So you
right.
think they're going to care about us?
Right.
Tell
exactly.
What's your comment?
Well, I'm in unison with you on that point. because it's, you know, it's a system. Our system, economic system, is predicated, you know, on profit. And any time you have a system predicated on profit, it necessitates poverty, because somebody's got to be lacking in order for people to be wealthy. And not only that, they become extremely wealthy, you see. And that's the system that's just, you know, the word for it is just that it's sick. It's sick, and it's very unstable. Capitalism is the most unstable system you can get, because that's why all these ups and downs. And right now, it's teetering. You know, it's teetering. You saw what happened, you know, back in 2008. You know, 2007, 2008, the collapse. And it was a collapse in 1998, and, you know, they wrote a bill to they had that bill about the banks couldn't be, had to be separated, you know, Glass-Steagall. They did that after the you know, 29 Depression. And then they wrote another one after, you know, after what happened in 2008. Frank, I think it was something, I can't remember the whole, it was two names. That all, they wrote that to go back to the Glass-Steagall, and now they want to throw that aside again, you see. And it's like, it's never stable. It's always unstable, because the wealth is always going to the top and not at the bottom. And now Trump is trying to push people into, you know, taking an insurance that's going to knock them from being insured for health care. So, you know, it's a brutal system. It's a brutal system. And in order to divide white and black, they have to oppress one group more than the other, so that the group that's not being oppressed as well as the other can think of themselves as being better off and deserving a better position, when in actuality the entire workforce is being oppressed and they don't realize it, because they can look out and say, well, I'm better off than that person, you see. When there's no unity in the working class itself, that's why they like to have this division, and this division of allowing police to murder innocent non-white people. I have to say non-white, because it's not just blacks that they murder. They also murder Latinos in the same way, and they've always murdered Indians, American Indians, the same way, to take their land and stuff of that nature. So even there's a nice celebrated word called imperialism that allows them to go to foreign countries and do the same thing. And we see that with Korea and Vietnam, and then we go to the Middle East, Iraq, Afghanistan, Yemen. We see this stuff all the time, and there's always an excuse to go to this country or that country. There's always a lie to get involved, and the public accepts it right on, don't realizing that they're part of the oppression themselves. It's heartbreaking, because we have to also realize that we're one species. We all are one species, originating from Africa. That's what the whole thing is about. It's one species, known as Homo sapien. And this is something we've got to have to struggle with, and not try to think that one type of human needs to be eliminated by other humans. We have to try to find a way to try to bring people together, And the only thing at this point that I can think of that's plausible is to try to move to have a classless society, a society that's not based on class. And when I say class, I mean people who are immensely wealthy and people who are poor. That's the class. That's the class question in our country and in all the capitalist countries. And capitalism is all over the world now, and it's going to, you know, have its ups and downs, and mostly downs. And we have to come together and realize that the question of race is a myth. That's one thing to get to make a step, is realize that race is a myth, and that we can't think in terms that one race needs to be eliminated. That's really, an invitation to get rid of the species itself, the species Homo sapien. So that's the problem that we face with. We first have to come to a realization that race is a lie. It's not something that is scientific. It's unscientific. And we have to struggle with that. We have to struggle.
Ron, what do you say about, and we only have a few moments left here. Boy, this 2 hours went fast. Hour and a half. What do you say about this notion, and I've seen it myself on the web, about the genocidal efforts of those in monetary power? Because, again, all power is not monetarily based. But those in monetary power, and I'm speaking specifically of Bill Gates. It's been that he's talked about genocide, and it makes me concerned when I think about the work he's doing in Africa. He said that the world does not have the resources for the number of people who are here, which I think right there is, for him to be so-called intelligent is just one of the most ignorant things anyone could ever say.
Yeah, I agree.
And that we need to reduce the world population. Folks, if you don't believe that, go up on the web and Google Bill Gates and genocide. Google those words.
Really? That is
mind-boggling. From his speech. I saw him on stage. I don't think it was a robot. I've seen numerous times he's made those statements. So that's a fact. If it's on this program, I like to believe, I do my very best to make sure it's grounded in truth. So, folks, you know, get up on your computers and start doing some research here, because the computer, as negative as it can be in terms of the bad things about it, it can be a leveler of the playing field to some degree. But what do you think about that, Ron? What's your take?
My take is that's insanity, absolute insanity. He is authorizing the extermination of the whole species. You can't eliminate one so-called race without eliminating yourself, because we're all we're all have the same genome. We just have different expressions out of that genome. In other words, you can't really, get rid of any kind of race stuff. It's something in the genome that we have. He is totally ignorant that he's going to eliminate himself. He doesn't realize that. You see what I mean? By trying to eliminate whatever, if it's all black people trying to eliminate all black people, he's going to end up eliminating white people in the same thing. It may be a conundrum of what I'm saying, but that's what's happening. Once Hitler, say, attacked people that he thought was subhuman, and he figured that Jews were part of that, and Polish people, and Gypsies, and all of that. He didn't get very far, but he did do a lot of damage that was insanity. And if he was so fixed on these non-people that weren't worthy of life, why did he attack Norway? You see what I mean? That was supposed to be, you know, Nordic people who were so-called white. Because, see, nobody is really white and nobody is really black. You see, that's insanity when they go into that kind of thing. That is really humanity, and that's a note to eliminate all humanity, really, because you're not going to be able to stop until all humanity is gone. Because there's some of what white people have, so-called white people have, blacks have it too, and white people have blacks too. I mean, where does freckles come from? You know, that's melanin in the skin. Freckles are melanin in the skin. So, you know, we're dealing with something that has to be understood. That's
well, you know, it's interesting you say that there is power in division, just like there's power in unity. There's power in division, and as I listen to you and I think about it, you say, okay, we're all one, but yet we have all these factions, Ron. As I mentioned at the top of the program, I said, okay, this isn't about white or black or Hindu or Buddhist or Christianity or Judaism or Muslim, you know, male, female, old, young. But if you can come up with divisions amongst those segments, you can gain some power. Either, you know, division or unity in those areas. Because you have to say, well, how did we end up here? You know, and like you said, it goes back, I believe, to Africa, when someone was trying to say, okay, here are these folks here that are superior to us in terms of math and science, and but we have gunpowder. So maybe we can...
For the time being.
I'm a historian. I don't want to get deep in that, but...
Right. They rise and they fall. You see, all the civilizations, they rise and they fall. See, that's the quagmire, you know. They rise and they fall. The United States will fall, too. They all rise and they fall. What we have to try to cling to is understand that we want to be a species that can survive. And to me, the struggle is to get rid of the class question. Get rid of class division. That's the struggle.
Interesting. I'd like to continue this dialogue sometime in the not-too-distant future, because you say we got to get rid of that class struggle. And
that's
I'll say that I want to continue this because there was a program, and I don't know if it was 60 Minutes or one of those, you know, evening news programs or what they call news magazines, and they were talking about what's happening in San Francisco and how there's this gentrification. Look that one up, folks. And that there are folks in their 50s and 60s who are being moved out of good, wholesome neighborhoods, I mean middle-class neighborhoods, because of the, you know, the tech infusion that's going on out there. And have these 20 and 30-year-olds, and this isn't to divide age brackets, but the fact of the matter is, these are statistics I'm talking now, the fact of the matter is that you have these, you know, younger folks who are coming out and they're building these either gated communities or these communities that are unlivable for, you know, the average individual. So now you have homeless people who are in their 50s and 60s who were moved out. Literally, they have a state ordinance, a law, that says that a corporation has the right. I recorded it, and folks, I didn't plan to go here, so I don't have all the details. Next time Mr. Crenshaw comes on, I'll have that. But I forget the name of it, but you can look this up. As Dick Gregory, my mentor, would say, do your homework. Do your homework, folks. Look it up in Google. Just in San Francisco, gentrification. And but there's a law in the books that says that if a corporation has a good enough proposal, they can propose that through I'm staggering to try to even get the word out, because it doesn't make sense. The word doesn't make sense. Developer, that's not developing, that's regressing, that's tearing down. But a developer can come in, and if it seems like it's something that's going to be good for the area, by whose standards, I would question, they're able to buy out people living there with a one-time buyout. And there was a woman who was being interviewed, and she said that she was given for her apartment like several thousand dollars, and because an apartment complex was being built, whereas each apartment that was being built, the monthly fee for the apartment was several thousand dollars a month for a one bedroom.
Wow.
So, and she, where she was at, was paying hundreds. So she could never move back there again. And that little one-time fee of a couple thousand, where is she going to go? How long is that going to last her or her family?
Right.
Finding that they have hundreds moving into thousands of people who are middle class who are on the street now because they have nowhere to live. By the tech industry. So it's a interesting thing that you're talking about when you say what's happening with regard to the profiteers not having any type of a compassion on society and how they're impacting society. And these are folks coming out of colleges that are studying not just business, but sociology as well. So they know the impact it's having on society. But yet, the governor got on and said and was talking about how much of a shame it was. And I was thinking, shame on you!
Right.
Shame on you! You're the governor.
Right. Right.
It's disgusting.
Because
that's why I said, folks, turn up your radar. Remember that show, Mr. My Favorite Martian? And he had those little antenna used to come out of his head. We need to be turning our antenna up on this stuff.
Right.
And we just don't want to look and observe it. We want to speak on it. And as long as God gives me the breath and the wherewithal, I'll be speaking on it. And, folks, if you're not sharing this, shame on you. If you're not telling a neighbor, you need to listen to Daryl Clark's Progressive News Weekly. And I'm not just trying to grow my numbers, which I'm trying to do, but not just trying to do that because I'm trying to also bring about awareness to what's happening.
Exactly.
Folks, come on.
Right.
I apologize, Ron, for taking the, that little soapbox. You know how we get.
It energizes us. Yeah, you have to be on your soapbox.
So I would like to have you come back and continue this dialogue. And I appreciate you not staying away too long like this. And really appreciate you, Ron. We've been talking with Mr. Ronald Crenshaw.
Sure.
And you remember that name because he's a mover and shaker. He's been around a while. He's respected.
Yeah.
He's out of New York, and he's been on many panels, well-respected panels and expos, speaking truth to power. He's a historian, a political activist, research analyst. He's a crusader for equal and human rights, and he's been at this crusade for over three decades. He truly lays out the pathway to truth and insight when it comes to justice and equal rights. And I mean it when I say I thank him for coming on Progressive News Weekly. And I truly, truly heartfelt mean that. I want to say, Ron, I know that, one of your drivers is being inspired by the body and works of the likes of notables such as Paul Robeson. So, you're walking on the heels of great, and I encourage you to continue doing what you do, Ron, speaking truth to power.
Thank you, and I love you too for speaking the same.
So we come to the end of another program. Again, I thank Ms. Crenshaw for joining us. We're going to close out, like I said, with that tune where I believe it's Maurice White of Earth, Wind & Fire, and he says, I want you to stop. Just stop. And that's what I want folks to think about doing. Just stop for a moment because you know what? This is a rat race. But you know what? I wouldn't want to be anywhere else because this is supposedly a land for the people, by the people, and of the people. And it's like listeners like you. See, you wouldn't be listening. There's no coincidences. And I think that's going to be my next health topic because I enjoyed that opening piece. And I encourage those of you to tell some other folks about what we're doing here. And I enjoyed talking about, again, the health aspects of what we as humans need to be responsible for, that is ourselves. And I'm going to continue that dialogue, and I want to thank those of you who encouraged me, especially my sisters, encouraged me to speak out and speak of my specialty, which I do, which is health and wellness. So I'm going to continue that. And I'm going to just close out with that bumper tune, All About Love. And speaking of All About Love, I love you all. I thank you for listening. I want to see you share more about Progressive News Weekly. If you're not getting at least one person, then if you believe what we've been talking about and enlightening folks, it's a little hypocrisy there. If you're not telling someone body, I can remember many shows. My homeboy, Arsenio Hall, and many radio programs, Michael Basin. And when I first heard these guys, and even Oprah, and I said, "Wow, this is a good show." And I had to tell somebody. And I'm not sure I understand why folks aren't sharing. You can't force someone to listen, but I think if you just told them the truth, that they might say, "Well, let me just take a listen in," because there is strength in numbers, and we can make a difference. So with that said, I love you all. Tell someone that you do love that you love them, because there's power in love. And remember the power of suggestion. Take that time out to stop and meditate on who you are, not what you do, who you are, and what your role might really be. Don't be a fish out of water. Get in that stream and do your thing. God bless you all. Thank you to the callers. Thank you to the listeners. And looking forward to next week when we have another very exciting
powerful guy here. Okay.
Thank you.
So we figured we'd lay it on you, let you know how we feel about love.
Paint a pretty smile each day. Loving is a blessing, yeah. Never let it fade away. It's all about love, yeah. Feel yourself a true romance. Beauty that's around you, yeah. You deserve just one more chance, my dear, my dear. Let the light shine all through your life. Feel your little heart aglow. Take the time, make up your mind. It's all about love, yeah. Talking to yourself, it's fine. Makes you feel much better. Know just where to draw the line. Girl, my dear, girl, my dear heart, yeah.
coming from a hip place, all of these things help because they give you an insight to your inner self. Have mercy. Now, there's an outer self we got to deal with, you know. The one that likes to go to parties, the one that likes to dress up and be cool and look pretty on ego trips and all this. So I'm like, hey, y'all, I'm trying to tell you, you got to love you. You got to learn all the beautiful things around you, the trees and birds. And if there ain't no beauty, you got to make some beauty. Have mercy. Listen to me, y'all. Beauty.